Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
Wow. How good. I got our champion. Whatever you're facing this morning, wherever you've come from this morning, understand that God loves you. He's for you, not against you. In any situation you're going through right now, He is above it. He's in control when things seem out of control. In the chaos, He brings calm. To sing about His goodness today, it's a beautiful thing because it's just repositioning. A declaration that no matter what the circumstance, God, you are good. You're in control. Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you that we can worship you and we can hold on to the truth that you are victorious, that you win. And with you, we are victorious. Whatever the circumstance we go through, we know you've already won the fight. God, would you remind us today of who you are? In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and amen. Well, you can take a seat. Ekka Sunday. How fun is the Ekka? Who's going to the Ekka this week? Anyone going? Sam, you're going? All right, cool. Like two of you? Okay, great. Oh, like Evan is going to the Ekka? Come on. Birdie Beetle bags. Yeah, yeah. No, no. The fireworks. Okay. Dairy cows. Ricky has to see the dairy cows. You're finding out new things on the stage as we go. This is great. I didn't really go to the Ekka growing up. I went to the Toowoomba show. And by the Toowoomba show, I didn't go to the Toowoomba show because my parents said it was a waste of money, so we got a block of chocolate. Anyway, the point is, show day would come around. They'd say, here, have this. That'll fill in the void in your life. But I love the show time of the year, that smell in the air and just that sort of buzz in the air at this time of the year as we're sort of heading towards spring, favourite time of the year. And if you're here for the first time, hey, you're more than welcome. My name's Az, I'm the pastor here. And we do want you to feel welcome. We want to connect with you. So please come and say hello after if you want. You've actually joined us today at the end of a series. And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about how you can hear from God. Who's been hearing from God lately? Who's been, spiritual ears opening up. We've been hearing lots of testimony of people in His church that are having real experiences with God, actually hearing the voice of God in their day-to-day. And I actually get so excited as your pastor, knowing that God is speaking to you directly outside of a Sunday message. And if you were here with us last week, I loved hearing Kev Holden's testimony of driving down in New South Wales just recently. God spoke to him verbally, audibly in his car, turn right. And he was like, that can't be real. And he turned right and God led him down a path, a road, to meet some people he hadn't seen in 25 years, was able to pray for these people at a time of trauma and tragedy, and just God used him in a moment because he heard the voice of God. And last week I said, hey, who wants that in their life? Just to be able to go, God, where do you want me to go this day? What do you want me to do with my day? And God, just to guide you directly where you need to go. I want more of that. Yes? You want more of that? And so today I'm going to continue on hearing from God, because over the last few weeks we've learned that God's a creative God. He speaks in really interesting ways. He uses creativity. He can use social media. He can use a song on the radio. He can even wake you up in the middle of the night with a light in your room. There's a testimony of a lady who had the light appear in her room and spoke to her. Incredible that God can speak through this way. But we've noticed that when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we talked about and sang about the Holy Spirit before, that the Holy Spirit always directs us back to Jesus. Always directs us back to Jesus. It's not some airy-fairy, wonderful, weird, I wonder if that's God. You will know that it's the Holy Spirit because He'll always direct you back to Jesus and be in a relationship with Jesus, wanting to be closer with Jesus. And I've got to tell you, this week, I wasn't going to do this message. I almost missed this message in the busyness of life, in the craziness of life. Anyone agree with me that life can get crazy, that you can miss what God's wanting to say? And I got to say, this week, I was in a struggle of what I actually preach today, because Beck and I decided about 2 weeks ago that we were pretty tired. You know, we get to this time of the year and we're like, we need a break. We need some time out. And so we decided to go and have a little staycation on the Gold Coast this week and catch up with some old friends. It was great. And on Monday, I knew that I had to do a preach this week, right? So there's always that thing in the back of your mind, I'm going away, but I've also got work to do. Anyone ever been there? Yeah, right? Like, I can't just stop because things have got to happen. And so on Monday, I was like trying to get my preach done for today. And I'm like, okay, what am I going to preach? And I've already finished the Hearing from God series. It's all good. It's Ekka Sunday. I'll do something to do with the Ekka. Be real creative. It was trash. Like, I've shared this before, but my kind of voice of reason is Beck. And so Beck, as we're going to the coach, she actually said to me, she goes, have you got a preach ready for next Sunday? Because we really want to have a break. And I said, yeah, I've got this idea. And she goes, okay, what do you mean? I start explaining it. And she goes, that's horrible. But I'm like, I want a break. Like, I genuinely want to break myself. I want to stop. I shouldn't have to worry about this. Why didn't I roster someone else to speak? And I'm having these moments. And so I just sort of threw it aside and was like, oh, well, God's going to have to give me a message later this week. And as I've mentioned before, God is constantly speaking, but it is our responsibility to tune in. And sometimes it's hard for us to tune in because we're exhausted and we're tired. And we just can't get that clarity. We're like, our mind is full of junk and stuff and our life is busy and all we can think about is work. Some of you guys right now are thinking about work while you're sitting here and you're just like, I don't want to be here. I need to get my work done. How long is this guy going to speak for? You know, things like that. Some of you, your head is so muddled. You're like, I just want some of that ice cream out there. Others of you are like still celebrating the Matildas in your head. Yeah, how good was that? Some of you almost had a heart attack last night, so you're here for recovery. So, like, we've all got to understand that through exhaustion, we sometimes can't hear from God. And so it was actually on the fourth day of our little break, our little staycation, because it took me 4 days. 4 days. And on Thursday morning, I woke up bright and fresh after almost sleeping for 3 days. Like, I just slept and slept and slept. And on the fourth day, I woke up refreshed in my soul. And God dropped into my spirit what I need to talk on today. And I was like, oh, wow. So I got out of bed, Beck's still sleeping, and I went and sat out on my balcony looking out towards the ocean. And it was just silent, completely silent. And as I sat down, I just felt like God said to me, as you've missed one of the most important and powerful ways to hear my voice, and that's to be silent. You got so busy, as. You are so busy, full of every bit of noise. And, you know, you've talked about, hey, if you want to hear from God, listen to podcasts or listen to music. Maybe, you know, be reading your Bible, constantly just filling your time with stuff to hear the voice of God. And God's like, as, I want you to be silent. I want you to stop. And as I was just sitting there in the stillness, which is a rare thing for me to do, like, I don't know about you, but when I get a moment to stop, I normally go, well, how can I fill it? Like, if Beck goes on holidays, I'm like, oh, I've got 5 nights of just bro time. You know, like, calling people, how can we hang out? Like, what can we do? I'm not sitting at home going, oh, I love this silence. I'm not someone to stop. So when God's like, hey, as you need to stop, shush, don't speak for a moment, allow me to speak. Man, this is actually outside of my comfort zone. And maybe it's outside your comfort zone as weak. But I want you to give God a chance to speak to you. And especially today, I reckon this message is for you if you've come in here feeling tired, weary, exhausted, and burned out. Today's message is for you. Because when we're tired, weary, burned out, we make bad decisions. And we find it very hard to hear from God. You know, even though you might not understand this, understand that even those that hear from God incredibly clearly in the scripture have moments where they lose their way. There's this story I want to draw attention to today, and it's about a guy named Elijah. He's a prophet in the Old Testament, one of the few that could hear clearly from God. And when I say he can hear clearly from God, this guy has some power on his life. In 1 Kings 18, if you read that chapter, there's a moment where Elijah, this prophet, has actually brought about a drought on the land. He's actually called it down to bring repentance amongst the people. And then later on in chapter 18, we find him confronting these men that actually worship other gods. We talked about the difference between the Holy Spirit and other spirits in the last few weeks. And if you want to catch up, go and listen to the Beacon podcast so you can actually catch up on this. But Elijah knows that he has to confront those that are bringing about evil in the land. And these guys are the prophets of Baal. There's 450 of them that he actually brings to the top of a mountain called Mount Carmel. and he has a bit of a fight with them. He says, hey, let's see which God is real and which one isn't. I'm going to give you 450 prophets. All of you guys who apparently have these gods that are amazing that I should be worshiping, we've got a sacrificed cow here. And I want you just to call down fire from heaven, get your gods to burn up the cow. Let's just do that. And so for days, these guys are cutting themselves, doing all sorts of crazy worship that is just doing nothing. And Elijah starts taunting them, has your God gone deaf? Is nothing happening? And they can't do anything. And then Elijah says, my turn. He says, hey, bring some water and put it on the cow. And they're like, what? Fill up water around the altar. Actually, fill up more water around the altar. Fill up more water around the altar. Now the altar is saturated. There's no fire going to burn this up. He says, hey, true God, come down. Fire comes from heaven, burns it up. Okay? In this triumphant moment, one guy, verse 450. In this moment, Elijah chases these prophets down a hill. And in a valley called Kishon, he murders them all. Great kid's story. Anyway, that's a good one. Old Testament wrath of God. Let's remove the evil from the world. And so this happens, and Elijah has just done what God has called him to do. And then within this short period of time, he actually prays for rain, and the rain returns to the land that's been full of drought. So imagine being that tight with God. You hear from God, you do exactly what he says, fire comes from heaven, you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got the power, you can wham, bam, you can do whatever you want because you know God's with you. And then we're going to pick up in chapter 19, okay? Chapter 19 is such an interesting story. It says this in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, just so you know, Jezebel is like the boss of the 450 that are dead now, okay? And she says to him, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to the broom bush, sat down, under it and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. Does that sound like the words of a man that hears from God that clearly? Does that sound like the man from the chapter before? Called down fire from heaven, does all these incredible things. The same man is now under a bush, a broom bush, and he goes, God, kill me, a man that's suicidal. He's suicidal. He's gone from hero to suicidal. Why? He's exhausted. He's tired. He's done the work of God and now he's been on the run and he stops and he's like, God, just kill me. I can't do this anymore. Understand that if you're exhausted right now and if you're not stopping and having rest, mate, life can seem a lot worse than it is. He stops and he has a sleep. And what I've just discovered is that rest, even this week for me, rest and sleep can bring a lot of recovery. And you might be thinking, but I can't stop. I'm so busy. I've got so much to do. Can I encourage you this week? Find time for rest. There's a moment where Jesus actually gets confronted because he's eating some wheat on the Sabbath. If you know about the Sabbath, it's the day that God says, hey, you need to have a Sabbath. You need to have a break. The seventh day. And the Jewish people took this so seriously that you couldn't pick wheat on that day. In fact, even if you go to Israel now, the Sabbath is so serious that you can get in a lift in a building and you don't have to push a button because it'll stop on every level on the Sabbath so you don't break the law. They have all these loopholes to get away with the Sabbath because they don't want to break God's law because they take it so seriously that we have to stop and do nothing on the Sabbath. But Jesus draws the attention to these people that accuse him of working on the Sabbath. In Mark 2, it says, then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, Jesus calls it out. He says, don't you understand, right from the beginning of time, God set you up to work six and have a day off. You're supposed to work hard. You were designed that way. But you're also supposed to have a day of rest so you can keep going. God didn't put it in place because of religious duty. He put it there as a free gift for you to go, I've had a rest. And maybe you just need to stop and have a rest, have a sleep before you start making more decisions. I've discovered when I'm tired, exhausted, I make really bad life decisions. Do you understand what I'm saying? You start making decisions that are just really erratic, doesn't make sense, and you're like, why did I do that? You make decisions that are out of the ordinary, and you're like, why did I do that? It's because you're tired. And God's actually put this in place for us. And back to Elijah, I want to pick up on this. Elijah goes to sleep and an angel wakes him up. And he follows it up some really practical ways in which you can get back on track if you're feeling exhausted. Have a sleep and do this. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, then lay down again. He ate some food and went back to sleep. Hey, do that. Try that this week. Have a rest, have some food. Go back to sleep. Then the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been zealous for the Lord, my God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then in a great and powerful wind, tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. The man of God that's so used to seeing God work in fire and power and wind and, you know, these crazy miracles, expecting God to speak again in the same way he's always experienced. But in this time, God just goes, I'm just going to whisper this time. In the silence, in the waiting, you can hear me. Elijah, I don't always speak in the loud and noisy and crazy. I can speak in the whisper as well. I felt that same whisper for me this week when I said, God, would you speak to me? I need to come up with a message. He's like, just stop. Be quiet. I want to whisper as rest. Shut your mouth for a moment and I'm going to remind you of who I am. It's actually a really beautiful moment. Because as I sat there with the waves crashing outside my room, it reminded me of a moment that forever changed my life. And my prayer is that you have a moment like this too. Wholeheartedly, I believe as your pastor, that if you have a real experience and a real touch of God, you experience Jesus firsthand, you will never ever be the same. And you will never want to be. As I'm listening to the waves, God reminded me of a moment when I was 24, 15 years ago. And once again, I was exhausted and tired, burned out. I'd just been on the road for 5 weeks, traveling all over Queensland, speaking in schools, speaking at youth groups. I was near the end of the tour, so I was weary. And I had a Friday off, and I remember there was a movie on at the time that everyone was watching. It was a very popular movie, but a movie that I knew that I shouldn't be watching. You know those moments? We're like, everyone else is involved in it. Everyone else is watching that stuff. Everyone else is consuming this stuff. Why can't I? But the thing is that God actually calls us to a different life. And I remember thinking, I shouldn't be watching this movie. My mate was with me and we contemplated it and we went, let's go see it. We've got to know what the hype is, you know. And I remember going and seeing this movie, and it's the only movie in my entire life I've ever walked out of, because I felt like my whole entire soul, my entire being was corrupted by this movie. And it weighed so heavily on me. Like, it was just like, I walked out feeling like a piece of junk. You know those moments where you've exposed yourself to stuff you shouldn't expose yourself to, you feel like you've lost your soul, and you feel like you're not worthy. I remember walking out of this movie, and I had to preach that night at a youth group. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to preach? Like, I'm such a hypocrite. I feel like trash. And so I went and sat down. It's actually up at Alex Heads. I sat down at this table, just at a picnic table. I had my Bible with me. I'm so worn out, so exhausted that I do what some of us do. I like to call it Bible roulette. Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want to say to me? You know, and you open a page. Not that. That's boring. What else? That could be me, right? Like, my story is a key, a short man. That could be me. And it's like, you know, like you know, you just have this. So I'm doing Russian roulette, like Bible roulette, because that's how you're like, how the heck do I read this thing? And after about the fifth time of Bible roulette, I open up and it was actually the crucifixion story. The Easter story, which I've heard at Easter every time all my life in church. But here I am, I'm reading it in the silence, feeling like rubbish. And I'm reading about Jesus, how he loves us so much that he died for us. But I'm reading the detail about how the Romans are whipping him and tearing the flesh off his back. I'm reading the moments where he's being dragged through the streets and people are spitting on him and scorning him, an innocent man worthy of none of this punishment. I'm reading about the time where his hands and his feet are being nailed to a Roman cross, hung by criminals. And as I'm reading, my entire being was devastated. And in amongst the mix of it, I still get emotional. I can't not get emotional when I share about this. So I'm reading in the silence, feeling like rubbish. I'm reading about Jesus. I know this story, but it's hitting harder than ever before. I just felt so clearly within my soul, in my innermost being, these simple words, Aaron, I love you. I remember sitting there in the silence. No one was around me, but I could hear it clear as day. Aaron, I love you. And I started to argue with this voice as to think that I needed to justify that I wasn't worthy. I was not possibly worthy of this love because I just exposed myself to this stupid movie. I knew where I was. I was exhausted. I hadn't opened my Bible in 5 or 6 weeks. I'm living off of old revelation. I'm here trying to outpour for other people. I'm about to speak in a youth group. And what do I have? And all I hear is, Aaron, I love you. I remember just having a chat going, I knew it was God. And how did I know it was God? He called me by my name. No one calls me Aaron. I've been called Aaron since I was 2. Still don't get called Aaron. I knew it was God because he knew my name. God knows your name. He sees you. He loves you. And I sat there, and that simple word transformed my entire life. The revelation that even while I was still a sinner, a broken mess, completely stuffed up, in that place, God loved me. He didn't love me when I tried to be good. He just loved me. And that love transforms you forever. And I heard it in the silence. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." One of my favorite scriptures that Beck and I have held on to over the years is you be still and be silent, I will fight for you. There's something about stopping and putting it back in the hands of God and just being silent. Be encouraged today. If you are so tired, take a rest. Rest in him. He loves you. Isaiah 40:31 says this, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait," or if you could say, "for they who are silent and just are patient with him, the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." When was the last time you were silent and gave him your time and attention? I want to give us a moment now. having this chat with Beck this week, and she was talking to a lady who comes from a more traditional church. She said, it's so interesting. You Pentecostals ask and talk and make a lot of noise, but you don't give a lot of time for God to speak and answer you. You're not silent to listen. Well, that's very confronting. But it's true. We're probably a bit like me. I'm just wanting God to yell at me while I'm running. Which way? Good. But God put the Sabbath in place, this time out in place to refresh you, to make sure you can hear from him clearly. Find time in your week. It doesn't have to be a whole day. It doesn't have to be a specific, it has not religious duty, but find time and say, God, this is for you and you alone. And he'll speak. He'll tell you which way to go. He'll remind you of his goodness. And so what we're going to do, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have some moment of silence just with the keys. I want you to just sit with your eyes shut and meditate and go, God, what do you want to say to me? What do you want me to speak to me about? What do you want from me this week? How can I be more like you, Jesus? You can pray those prayers and he'll speak. He'll speak. But first and foremost, before we get there, if you've never received Jesus, you've never received the love of Jesus, you've never even given him the chance, you feel like you've been so noisy, you've never stopped to allow him to say, I love you, I want to give him a chance to do that because it'll change your life. God loves you. God loves you. Your eyes shut, just everyone with their eyes shut. I want you to hear it. God loves you. God loves you. No matter what circumstance you even did last night, whatever you've been through this morning, God loves you. Unconditionally, wholeheartedly, with every part of his being, he loves you. He died on a cross for you. He rose again. And because of his love, he wants you in eternity with him. He wants to love you for eternity. And all you have to do is say, Jesus, I accept your love. I want to follow you. I'm sorry for my past. And you can do that in the silence. Jesus, I thank you that you speak to us. This morning, God, as we take a couple of minutes of silence, would you speak again? Speak to us, your people. Remind us of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you for your goodness. As we wrap up, actually, I'm going to do something. I'm going to get the band to play Holy Spirit, because we talked about the voice of God through the last few years. The band are like, oh my gosh, we got to go. Just rest in it. It's fine. We're going to sing this song, Holy Spirit. The words are, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come and flood the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is all I want. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Over this series, we've been talking about hearing from God. We talked about the fact that to hear the voice of God, you need to have the Holy Spirit. I actually believe that God wants to pour out his Holy Spirit this morning as we sing. We're going to wrap up the service. You're more than welcome to go and get some ice cream and jump on a jumping castle. But we're going to sing this song as we wrap up. If you want to talk about God, you want to actually have conversation about God, I can encourage you to come out to our Connect Hub. Come and talk to us. We have a prayer team as well. Come and see us if you want to have further conversation about this God thing. Maybe you made that decision. Jesus, I need you. I want to follow you today. Come and have a chat to us about that. But to wrap up today, we're going to sing this song. I want to challenge you, church, this week, find time for silence. Allow God to speak. Have an amazing week. Let's stand. Let's go.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.